Kiddos, if you are here and you're kindergarten through sixth grade, you can head upstairs for children's church. Eventually, when the basement is done, they'll be going downstairs and it'll officially be our next generation ministry. We've got several tasks to accomplish in the meantime. But today's one of those days when I would just as soon stand right there and just keep worshiping with y'all. Do you guys want to come back up and just keep going? Yeah, there you go. You guys sound amazing. I love these days, gathering together and worshiping Jesus together. I especially love some of the songs we sang today. Mighty to Save is one of my favorites. I can remember it brought back memories of one of my mission trips to Haiti. And I had the worship leader play that almost every time before I preached. And God just did amazing things down there in the church where I was able to serve for a little while. And I just remember that Mighty to Save. And wow, our God is mighty to save. And it is awesome to gather together and just praise His name. So again, thank you so much for being here. Quite a few years ago now, my wife and I bought a home way, way out in the country in central Illinois. Those of you that know Ray and Rose Thielbar, that just recently moved from here back to where they came from, and currently they're living in Lakin, Illinois. Well, this place that I lived, or my family and I lived, was in their neck of the woods. In fact, as the crow flies, not very far from where Rose grew up, I have a smallmouth bass that I had a replica made that came from the creek that Rose's farm was on when she grew up. I don't know if you knew that or not, but quite a connection. It goes even deeper than that, but I'll save that for another sermon sometime. But anyway, the point is, we had a home outside of Low Point, Illinois. And I'm telling you, it was way out in the country. I was telling Chris this morning, when we looked out our front door, you could see Santa's workshop to the north. And I mean, the wind came across the prairie and it was cold. Minnesota cold, this is not cold like that. That was wet, windy, cold. But the phone lines that ran out there barely worked. I don't know what the problem was. They were always fixing it. Water in the ground and shorts in the wires and mice in the boxes, and just phone lines weren't that great. And when we were there, it wasn't long after Al Gore invented the internet. It wasn't long after that. And so there came a day when we realized we needed the internet. And so we got it, whatever you do to do that. And it was dial-up. But remember, the phone lines barely worked out there. Now, you see exactly where I'm going with this. The word slow doesn't describe what the internet was. And then nobody could call you because it was your landline as well. And I don't think we even had cell phones at the time. Anyway, slow. I'm talking slow. But it was amazing, because you could go into the little den area that we had where the computer was, and you could type in a very long, detailed, very specific address. If you had one thing wrong, it was not going to work. But it was so slow, you didn't know that for like 20 minutes. But if you did it right, something would pop up on the screen after some time, and you could visit like a store online. It was amazing. Then if you wanted to see something in the catalog or whatever, you could click on the image, go in the living room, watch TV for a while, come back later, and if God was good, part of the picture would have appeared on the screen. Watch TV for a little while, come back, and this picture might be on the screen, and you could see the product right there. Amazing. It was incredible, but slow. I mean slow, waiting a long time, but it was cool. Now today we have internet that I've seen people, well, I'm married to people, that when you click something, if it's more than 1 second before it's up, what's wrong with the internet? This is slow, fast. I'm talking blazing fast, near instantaneous. We're accustomed now to having things so fast that it actually truly makes our minds spin. Everything is fast, super fast. In fact, we've been trained that waiting is bad. Waiting is actually a negative thing. It's a bad thing. It's the life that we're living in, all this instant, high-speed, super-fast bombardment with all this high-definition, high-technology information, it's not really good for us. I'm convinced that our bodies, our minds, our hearts weren't created to withstand everything that we're bombarded with here today. It's not good for our lives. Everything is hurry, hurry, hurry. Nothing is quite fast enough, and we just can't handle it. It's too much, too fast. And the pressure that some of you are under to keep up with this instantaneous bombardment of everything that we could imagine, it causes stress. It causes undue stress in our lives, which then affects every other area of our life, even interrupting sleep, which is so precious. I know people that wake up in the middle of the night just to check their phones and see if they have any new comments or notifications or any of their friends have posted, whatever. Stress and anxiety everywhere because everything is so fast. So what's the answer? Well, insert this sermon series called Decaf, Decaffeinated. And I have shared my love for coffee, and I'm not here to convert you from regular to decaffeinated coffee. Far be that from me. Wouldn't do that. However, I think that we can all decaffeinate our lives. We can slow down a little bit. We can take a step back and unplug from the grid and plug into God. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a little less stress and a little less anxiety. Maybe some of our relationships will be strengthened and made even better, especially our relationship with the Father. So today, we're going to be looking at the word wait. What does it mean to wait? To wait on the Lord. And we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I hope you do. I love seeing people carry their Bibles in. Open up to the book of Isaiah. If you go to the middle of the Bible and then keep going to the right pretty quick, you'll find Isaiah. And we're going to be in chapter 40, which Paul, that's the one right after chapter 39. Good job. All right. Good job, guys. So Isaiah was a neat prophet. And I hope that maybe you'll go home and study more about who Isaiah was and what he did. He prophesied for a little over 60 years. He lived in Jerusalem. He prophesied to Judah. He was around the years 740 to 680, somewhere in that time frame. And boy, did God use Isaiah to write an amazing book of the Bible. In fact, the book of Isaiah, now remember, men put chapters and verses into Scripture long after it was written. It was designed to help us find specific passages easier. So God didn't like create the verses and the chapters, and there's no hidden codes. If you're looking for that, you're in the wrong place, the wrong church. But it is interesting that the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, just like the Bible has 66 books within it. And the first 39 books of Isaiah, or I'm sorry, chapters of Isaiah, are about the coming destruction, the consequences for Israel's rebellion, what God is going to do because of their separation from Him and who He is and all of that. Then the last 27 books are about redemption. And it's like the New Testament. So 39 books and 27 books. The second part of Isaiah then is all about what God is going to do to restore His people, that they would face the consequences for a short time, but then God would ultimately make it right, just as He did with us, with Jesus. Isaiah, neat book. It's considered one of the most beautifully written, perhaps the most beautifully written of all of the books of the Bible. Very poetic and very prophetic. Everything that Isaiah talked about came true. And It's just truly amazing. Today we're in Isaiah 40 at the very last verse, verse 31. And I'm normally use the CSB translation, but today we're in the New King James again. And we'll explain why, or I'll explain what the reasoning is. But I like the wording of this New King James for this particular passage. And we're going to again look at the word wait. So Isaiah 40 verse 31, God's word says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this chance to gather together, to praise and worship you, to study your word together, and hopefully hear a message from you. And Lord, I pray that you will take your word and this message and speak it through me this morning. Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and our minds that we can more clearly understand who you are, how you've created us, and what it is that we can do to know you and serve you better each day. We pray all that in Jesus' name, and the whole church family said, amen. I don't think I even mentioned at the beginning of this series, this sermon series, as well as nearly every one of my messages, are first and foremost for me. It's what I need to do. It's what I need to hear. It's what I need to adopt. And so these spiritual disciplines that we've been looking at, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm pointing fingers at myself. These are things that I can certainly benefit from. And I believe that some of you as well can also benefit from this. So if you're being convicted, it's not coming from me. The point of today's message is that our lives can certainly benefit and even be blessed by the spiritual discipline of just simply waiting. Waiting. Now, what does the word wait mean? Why did I use the New King James versus the Kurt Special Bible that I usually use, the CSB? It's really Christian Standard Bible, but I like Kurt's Special Bible better. Why did I use the New King James? Well, because it translates the word wait, those that wait on the Lord. Other translations use the word trust, and another one used the word hope. So what does it mean to wait? To wait on the Lord. It sounds boring, doesn't it? We've been trained not to wait. Waiting is bad. I mean, you go to a fast food restaurant, you want it your way right away. You don't want to wait at all, but heaven forbid it would be cold and stale because it's been sitting there so long. Imagine the pressure that those poor people are under. I thought that was funny. I guess not. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means to hope. Now, the biblical definition of hope is quite different than our English understanding. The biblical definition of hope is the absolute assurance of an event that has not yet happened. That's what it means to hope and to truly hope in the Lord and on the Lord. What does it mean to wait? It means to trust. Trust in God. Trust on God. Hope in God. A patient and prayerful expectation who God is and what He might do for you. A peaceful trust in God, that God is there, and that God is in control. Now, despite what some textbooks and some scientists would try to convince you of the very weak theory that you are simply an accident, that you are here by chance, and at some time in the past, many millions or billions or whatever the date is today, that sometime there became life from nothing and everything from nothing, and you are just simply an accident. Despite what they would have you believe, I believe that God said, "Let it be," and it was, and that He made you fearfully and wonderfully in His own image, and that you are not an accident, that God knows you intimately. He created you perfectly and precisely. In fact, He knows every hair on your head, and that God cares for you, and He loves you. God, the same God that spoke everything into existence, that created the mountains and the lakes and the glorious smallmouth bass, He knows and loves you. And see, the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He holds all power in His possession. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. It's hard for us to understand. He's omniscient. He is all-knowing. God knows everything. He's all-powerful and he's everywhere all at once, all at the same time, and on and on. The beginning of this passage says, but those, speaking to anyone, especially the children of God, but anyone that will wait on the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to hope in the Lord. Now, you and I, living here, especially in America today, we're tempted sometimes to trust in the wrong things. We have a lot of conveniences. We have a lot of resources at our disposal. In fact, here in America today, perhaps we are more blessed than any nation ever in history. And it's tempting to follow that American dream and trust in the wrong stuff, our things, our toys, our possessions, our jobs, even our families, our spouses, or our money, our bank accounts. In fact, missionaries will say it's hard to get through to Americans today because we don't need anything. I mean, I'm speaking in general terms. I know there are some that are in great need. But in general, we are so blessed. We don't even need God because we're doing okay on our own. It's tempting to trust in our own selves, or at least the wrong thing. And Isaiah is telling you and I that those of us that will hope on the Lord, that will trust in the Lord, that will wait on the Lord, will be richly blessed. So what does it look like for us to peacefully and patiently trust in God in our lives? What's that look like? Well, the peaceful, patient, and prayerful quiet time that you and I need to adopt as a spiritual discipline, as a way of life, as an ongoing thing that we do, causes us to slow down. To slow down and to listen, to reflect on what we've heard about God, what we maybe know about the Lord. It causes us to remember what He's done in our lives specifically. I hear so many prayers so often, Lord, thank you for all the things that you do. I think we really lose something when we genericize that type of prayer. Think about exactly what God has done and then thank Him for that specifically. Did anybody get to see the beautiful sky the last couple of nights and maybe the northern lights? We went out last night and got absolute glorious look for an hour at the northern lights shimmering and glowing and dancing. And we're standing there together. My mother-in-law's here for a while helping Teresa and the family after her surgery. And so her and Gabe took off and they went to parts unknown looking for the lights. And we went to a different spot. Then later, Teresa, Caleb, and Isabel and I, and we're standing there. It's hard to even speak in the face of such beauty. And after a couple of minutes, Isabel turned around. She's our 11-year-old daughter. She turned around and she says, Dad, I already thanked God for the beauty of this. And I just hugged her. It's what a heart. I want to encourage all of us to remember who God is, but and specifically what He's done for us, and then reflect on that. Think about that. Be very specific. Sit quietly and patiently and peacefully and allow Him to renew your soul and refresh you and bring revival. What's the key to experiencing that? I think it's peace and patience. Now, remember, this sermon series, and maybe this message in particular, are first and foremost for me. Peace and patience, what's that? I don't know, have a clue. Peace and patience, wow. How do we get peace and patience when everything around us is hurry up, go, go, go? Peace and patience are fruit of the Spirit. When a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are indwelt by the presence of God Himself. The Spirit fills all believers, and we are gifted with His characteristics, not our own, but His. And if we will allow Him, He will overwhelm us, and He'll start to do things in us that we could never do on our own. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. How can we sit quietly and reflect and remember who God is and be renewed and revived and regenerated? It's peace and patience that come from the Lord. And then we just simply allow His presence to overwhelm us, to wait on the Lord in this fast-paced, high-speed, high-energy world. We really need to simply wait, to stop and just wait. So what happens if we do? If we can find time to not only rest and be still, but also wait on the Lord, what happens? Well, Isaiah tells us. He says, "But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." If we can peacefully and patiently wait on the Lord, we will be renewed in our strength. Teresa really likes hiking, my wife. She really likes hiking, and I was able to hike the Appalachian Trail a couple years ago, and I did a YouTube thing where you film it and you go along and you record each day and you speak to the camera and share your experience. And I did it primarily for my family and others because I was doing it as a mission trip, as an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord and share Jesus with people, thousands of people up and down the eastern seacoast there in the mountains. Anyway, Teresa was watching one of my videos the other day, and I just happened to come in the living room and I sat down, and it was the worst day of the entire trail. And there was a lot of really tough days, but this was the worst. It was in July, early July, and I was in New York, which is the lowest place on the trail. So hot, humid. In fact, it was record-setting heat, record humidity for record days in a row. I don't know, wherever I go, I'm always setting records for cold snow, heat, humidity, I don't know. Maybe I should learn some peace and patience. And anyway, rough day. It was the day of what we call the lemon squeezer. It's a very tough spot, really tight little area. You're going through these rock walls. You have to take your backpack off and carry it in front of you and turn sideways. It's really rough. And New York, especially southern New York, is like straight up. It's like climbing the wall behind us, walking across the roof and climbing back down the other side to go a few feet and then do it all over again. Real short, but really steep and rocky climbs. Huge heat, huge humidity, just brutal. And I'm watching the video of that day and I remembered how rough it was. We had planned to do 18 miles that day, and at noon, we stopped in the shade by a little stream, absolutely exhausted, and we had done 6 miles. I just remember that realization. I was so demoralized. I was used to doing 6 miles before my first break in the morning. I mean, 6 miles by noon, and we're completely exhausted. It wasn't looking good for the day. But I got absolutely exhausted, absolute desperation, brutal day. And so what do? You're out in the middle of nowhere. You can't just call an Uber and get picked up. What do? So we made it to the next shelter. My good buddy and I made it to the next shelter, and we just stopped for the day. Threw up the white flag, that's it, I can't do anymore, it's okay. We didn't make the goal, which is demoralizing, but it'll be okay. Quit for the day, stop, drink some water, lots and lots of water. I won't go into details about the whole bodily functions and what happens when you drink water, but you're sweating so much, it doesn't happen. That was happening or not happening, bad, really bad. What do? You drink a lot. If you've got electrolytes, drink them. Eat some food. Cold soaking ramen noodles was my meal of choice. Don't recommend that. Sleep. Just go to bed. Sleep and rest. Rest and relax and recover. And you know what? I watched the next video of the next day, and the change that happened in me. You could tell in my voice, you could tell in my countenance. The next day, everything was different. I was revived, I was revitalized, I was encouraged and ready to go, and I was ready to do more than I could of the day before. My attitude change was just different. It was so much better. My strength was renewed. My energy was restored. As the children of God, you and I, we get exhausted throughout the week. bombarded with so much and so many tasks and so much. And as the children of God, we're called to wait on the Lord, and then He will renew our strength. Like me in New York, getting some food, getting some water, getting some rest changed everything. We humbly come before the Lord with peace and patience in our heart. He will renew us and renew our strength. I love 2 Corinthians 12:9 when Jesus and Paul are talking, and Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "Therefore, I will gladly brag about my weakness, that the power of Christ can rest upon me." See, brother and sister, I think sometimes the devil tricks us into thinking we have to do this all on our own. You're really good and you're tough and you can do it. Hang on and hang in there and keep striving. And God says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and weak, and I will give you rest. Wait on me and I will restore your strength." See, my power, it comes and goes. It wavers, but God's power is perfect. And God's power is always available. And it says that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles. It's neat to live here in Ely and get to see eagles so often and watch them soar all around. Teresa got to see one grab a fish this last summer. Pretty neat. Imagine us renewed and reinvigorated and restored, full of God's power, soaring around like eagles. It comes from the spiritual discipline of just waiting on the Lord with peace and patience. And if we do, we receive His power in our lives, but we also receive His perseverance. The last part of this verse speaks to that. "And those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles." And then get this: "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." See, my endurance, it varies greatly. Depends on so many different factors in my life and what's going on. I mean, my fitness level is huge. Where am I at in my fitness level? Am I walking? Am I running? Can I do it? Where am I at in my fitness? But also the calories that I'm taking in. By the way, man, are you guys good cooks. Especially for the desserts. That's not good for my endurance levels. Wow. The calories I take in, are they good calories or are they bad calories? My hydration level, the amount of rest that I've gotten, my mental toughness, and even my confidence. That day in New York, my confidence was just rocked. Here I'd been able to do anything I wanted in the mountains, and this day just almost killed me. It hurt our confidence. You and I, our endurance, it wavers depending on where we're at spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So many different factors. But see, God's people, God's children that will wait on Him, we can have an endurance that doesn't come from our own abilities, but from the Creator of heaven and earth. See, God's people, it's tragic when you read the Old Testament and see their rebellion. Here they had Moses up on the mountain, God's presence is right there, and they wanted something else to worship. We would never, ever do something like that, would we? It breaks my heart to read, "And then they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord." And Isaiah speaks of the coming judgment for God's people because of their rebellion against a perfect God that simply wanted them to know and follow and trust Him, and He would make their paths straight. And they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't. And another king came, and he led them down the wrong path, and they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. God's people had rebelled against God and His ways, and there was judgment coming. Judgment would come on God's people for their rebellion, and foreign powers would overtake them, and they would rule God's people and destroy Jerusalem, and so many consequences, maybe more than God's people could endure. Maybe more than they could bear. The Lord says, "Wait on me. Trust in me. Put your hope in me with peace and patience, and I will give you power and perseverance. I know in my own life, my own testimony, as I've walked with the Lord, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more He molds me and shapes me. And I realized my own relationship, it's not about the ministry where I'm serving at the time, it's about me. God wants me to look more like Him, to act and think and talk more like Him, to be more like Him, and He does all the time. As far as I may be now, I was a lot further years ago, and I think where I am today and back a few years, and I can't believe the transformation. It's amazing. The God, the more He molds and shapes me, the more He can then do through me. And this is the same for every one of us, so I'm not just talking about me. The more He does in us, then the more we can trust Him, because He's proven what He's capable of. And the more we trust Him, the more we allow Him to mold and shape us. And the more He molds and shapes us, the more He does through us, the more we see His power, and the more we can trust Him. And then fast forward, the more we trust Him, the more He shapes us and molds us, and the more He does through us, and the more awestruck we are at how great and mighty He is, because He is so worthy, and that makes us trust Him more, and so on until the day that we get to be in His presence. I believe that some of us are overwhelmed and overloaded with busyness, high speed, hurry, hurry all around us. And I think that all of us can benefit from taking a Sabbath day of rest, just checking out, even for a few hours, letting the Lord restore us. I think we can be still and know that He is God, just simply sit in His presence. And I think that we can greatly benefit from learning to just wait, to wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and how it can speak to our hearts and maybe bring conviction of where it is that we have distanced ourselves from You. And so, Lord, I pray that You will take Your Word and You will magnify it in our lives and show us how it is that we can come into Your presence and then live in Your presence, be renewed and restored and refreshed by You, and that we can then be more like You each and every day. So, Lord, do that in us. Forgive us for our busyness and our hectic schedules and our lack of faith. Forgive us for not coming to You first. And, Lord, oh, may we see You at work in our lives and all around us, that You be much glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.